This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we continue to get ready for the NBA playoffs. Some soccer thoughts. We'll give away some battery tickets in a little bit. We'll catch up with a player of the Charleston Battery. We'll keep you posted on Tiger Woods as he finishes up for the day. And, in case you missed it earlier, we'll circle back to the Saban-Jimbo Fisher story that's been rocking the sports world today. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734, on the text line. We were talking donuts earlier for a moment. Somebody said they love Little Debbie Mini Crunch Donuts with coconut. Hey, if it's got coconut, it's for me. I tell you, you may go to the store and you may want to get those Krispy Kreme donuts in the store. You buy them, you know, in the container in the store. They're not quite the same. Maybe you go home and you, like, warm them up or something. Instead, you got to go with the Edamame's donuts. Now, I don't like the frosted. Those, like, frosted donuts, those are gross. But if you get the chocolate-covered ones, those are so good. And if you put them in the freezer for a little bit just to make them a little harder, a little stronger, ooh, that's some good stuff right there. They're glazed or solid, too. Plain donuts, solid. I hate the powdered sugar donuts or just the powder donut. There's something about it. Again, maybe it's the texture. Never liked those. Maybe I had a bad experience as a kid. Because those almost, like, give me chills. I send chills down my spine. I hate those powdered donuts. But the chocolate-covered ones, fantastic. Let me tell you. Those are the donuts. If you're picking up donuts at the grocery store, those are the ones to go with. And there's nothing better than the Sunday donuts when you get them fresh from some sort of local spot Sunday morning. Last night in the NBA playoffs, you can always get in touch with the show as well. Going online, charlestonsportsradio.com. Click on our show page. Send a message to the show that way. And Dale said, although the awesome play of Luka against the Suns covered it up last night showed that the Mavericks are still one additional star player away from being a great team. Yeah, Luka got no help last night. His guys, his teammates were not knocking down shots in the first half. And then got to the point, Luka had 2 points in the second half. It almost got to a point where, and I love Luka, he's probably my favorite player in the league. It just looked like he kind of quit. And I guess I don't blame him. They're down 20. You know, but it is the playoffs. But he had 2 points in the second half, and especially in the fourth quarter. Like, he was very passive, didn't really have the ball in his hands very much, was just passing it off, wasn't attacking at all. And I know he got that scratch in his face in the first quarter, and maybe he just wanted to recover for game two. He hopes it's a long series, figures I'm not going to burn myself out here in game one. We're down 20. But I was kind of disappointed by that. It looked like he just got discouraged. Like, my guys aren't making shots. I can't win tonight. Right? This is not good. And almost checked out in the second half. But, yeah, his teammates didn't make enough plays. The Mavericks were terrible from beyond the arc. Now, it's on the road, and the theory is that role players are role players for a reason. They're not ready to be stars, and role players are good at home, but not on the road. And for the Mavericks, as Dale mentioned here, and certainly we know to be true, right, you get Luka, but you don't have a second star. So it's Luka and a bunch of role players. Theoretically, that's a tough recipe on the road. Now, they did win against Phoenix Game 7, on the road. But you can understand why some of those guys or the team in general would not be as good on the road, because it's just a bunch of role players that don't play well in those spots. Additionally, they just played Game 7. They come back Game 1, back on the road. Warriors are more rested. It's a new series. Mavericks lost Game 1 of the last two series as well. So maybe that's to be expected last night. Luka's performance, that was the disappointing part to me. I could understand the rest of the guys, but I'd like to see more out of Luka. And yet he had as many turnovers as made baskets last night. And credit the Warriors for doing a good job on defense, but I don't think that's going to last the whole series. I think last night's the worst night you'll see from a Luka Doncic in this series. I picked the Warriors to win it in six. I would still say that's the case. I don't take much from game ones. Because as we've been talking throughout the afternoon, if the road team just wins game two, it wipes out, to me, game one. So the Heat looked a lot better in the second half than the Celtics the other night, but if the Celtics come back to win tonight, They've done their job in Miami. If the Mavericks win game two and you go back to Dallas 1-1, they did their job despite getting blown out last night. But to the original statement made by Dale when he reached out to the show, that is certainly the case, and that's why the Mavericks have the worst odds to win the championship and probably are still a little too far away. They need that Robin for Luka Doncic, for his Batman. And they've tried. They thought it was Kristaps Porzingis. That did not work out. I don't think it's Brunson, and he's about to be a free agent. You got to go get somebody else. Because Luka, as good as he is, cannot win on his own. We'll see what happens tonight, game two of the Heat-Celtics game. Trent already gave his thoughts. He's on a bit of a heater this week. So if you missed that or anything from the show, go catch on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. My biggest takeaway from game one was just more about the Warriors, and I broke that down earlier. And I think it's a good message or lesson for all teams in all sports, where if you put the team above one single player, right, the highest paid athletes don't have a lot of playoff success in all sports. Now, again, Steph Curry, it makes a lot of money, but you didn't go out and break the bank for a free agent. When you put the team over just one player, I think that helps you go a long way. And also, you don't have to be so dependent on getting the top players. Instead, you could develop. It's almost like the Stephen Stills song. Love the one you're with. Right? If you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. If you can't get who you believe is the star of the draft, that's okay. You got another good player. Develop him to be the star instead. Steph Curry was taken 7th out of Davidson. Klay Thompson 11th out of Washington State. Draymond Green in the second round. Jordan Poole was at the end of the first round, had to go to the G League first. Wiggins looked like a bust. That's okay. Now in Golden State, playing in his role, he looks a lot better. Steve Kerr never coached before. You bring him in. The culture of Golden State, they develop these guys, their team. Last night, Curry and Klay weren't great. That's okay. Other guys stepped up. They were fine. They won the game by a large margin at home. It's not about just paying James Harden a bunch to come in and try to carry you to a victory. It's not about getting the top players in the draft that we always perceive to be the top players in their draft class. The Warriors, instead, right, they're more about the team than an individual player. They develop their guys, build a good culture, community, well-run organization. They know what they're doing. You can plug in a player like a Jordan Poole or a Wiggins or a Looney, and they're going to have success in Golden State. And that's a real credit to that organization. But the big story that I want to circle back to, we'll get to a lot of soccer stuff coming up. We'll talk with a member of the Battery. We'll give away some Battery tickets. I got some thoughts on soccer. But I want to circle back to, of course, this big story that we've been talking about throughout the afternoon, Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. You've probably heard the audio by now, if not on our show, somewhere else. But let's bring it back in case you weren't with us earlier, you missed it, maybe you don't know what we're talking about, or you hear people saying, did you hear the Saban-Jimbo drama? And maybe you didn't hear the clips from last night or Jimbo earlier today. Here's how it all started. This was Nick Saban last night at a speaking engagement in Alabama. He went on, it was about a seven-minute answer. Here's the portion that is really making the headlines where he went after specific coaches and programs. This is what Saban said last night, at least part of it. Part of what he said about name, image, and likeness.
But I know the consequence is going to be difficult for the people who are spending tons of money to get players. And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player, all right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. Yep. So it's tough, and this is not going to change because they cannot enforce their rules, just like Nate said. We have a rule right now that says you cannot use name, image, and likeness to entice a player to come to your school. Hell, read about it in the paper. I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to a school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it. I mean, these guys at Miami that are going to play basketball there for $400,000, it's in the newspaper. The guy tells you how he's doing it. But the NCAA can't enforce their rules because it's not against the law. And that's an issue. That's a problem. And unless we get something that protects them from litigation, I don't know what we're going to do about it.
That was Saban last night. And you can see it's interesting, you know, if you're on Twitter, you see, like, everybody start tweeting about it. It's trending. It's blowing up. You realize, like, wow, look at that. You see it take off in real time, how big of a story it becomes. Everyone was talking about it online last night. So then Jimbo had to respond, and he called an emergency press conference at 11 a.m. Eastern this morning And here was just a portion. He said a lot of interesting things, really went after Saban. Here's a clip of what Jimbo had to say this morning.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here.
Jimbo this morning. Now, he said a lot of interesting things. Saban tried to call him. He didn't take the call. He's not going to talk to him. He's done with them. Said, you know, we've built him up to be this god, but look at how he's gotten there. I have been intrigued by all the takeaways and the tweets about it. Tom Fernelli, who covers college football, said, not taking a side, just appreciating the irony of a person calling a press conference to call somebody else a narcissist, which is along the lines of what I said earlier. Well, did you need a whole press conference if you're Jimbo? You weren't revealing any sort of new information. You were just defending yourself and attacking your accuser. To me, that's almost done by somebody who, like, feels like they need to, you know, like, feels like they got caught, I guess. Feeling defensive. Now, again, as I said earlier, I wouldn't appreciate somebody potentially making something up about me, but if there was no truth to it and I thought it was ridiculous, I don't think I'd hold a press conference and would defend myself about it for 30 minutes. I think I would just brush it off and move forward because I know, like, no, that's not true. That's ridiculous. Maybe I put out a statement or a tweet calling it ridiculous. Maybe a strong word to tweet, but I don't think I sit there for a half hour attacking the guy and trying to throw him under the bus as well. The old what's good for the goose is good for the gander. He's going to call me a cheater. Well, this guy's the biggest cheater. Jimbo also said along those lines, you can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't call me a cheat. You can't call me a cheat. You ain't call me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie. I learned that when I was a kid. If you did that, your old man slapped you upside the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him in regards to Nick Saban. That's a good line. Jimbo also said in regards to talking to Saban, not going to. We're done. He showed you who he is. He's the greatest ever, huh? When you've got all the advantages, it's easy. Now, I think when you say something like that, then you got to dig a little bit deeper. And I don't know if there are questions allowed at this press conference, but I hope if there were, people have to ask these questions. Like, what are you alluding to exactly? When you talk about the advantages, or when you say that Nick Saban, right, look into what Nick Saban's done. What exactly are you alluding to? Now, I don't think Jimbo wants to be the snitch in it all. He's trying to lead you down a certain path. But he basically called Saban a cheater. Saban kind of alluded to Jimbo being a cheater. Jimbo used to work under Saban. And a lot of coaches have worked under Nick Saban. So this idea that he was doing some things, everybody knows it. Now it also puts pressure. All these other coaches are probably going to have to answer questions, too, that worked for Nick Saban at their next press conference about, like, hey, well, what exactly was he doing at Alabama or LSU or Michigan State or wherever it was you worked with him? And also just the idea that, you know, Jimbo's probably included in any of that wrongdoing by Saban as well, or the idea of just everyone else was cheating at that school at LSU, but I wasn't. I had morals, and I don't lie about it. Now, I think when it comes to all this, to me, right, there's the two theories. Either Nick Saban, and they probably go hand in hand. Either Nick Saban is worried about Texas A&M. They just beat him last year when they weren't as good of a team. And they just put together a better recruiting class, the number one recruiting class. Maybe Saban's worried about Texas A&M coming after him. He's trying to keep them at a distance, trying to nip this in the bud. Or maybe it's not so much about Jimbo, but instead the people he was talking to in that room. And maybe they go hand in hand. Maybe he needs to talk to those people in that room because he's feeling a little pressure from a Texas A&M. Well, last night he was talking to, you know, the business leaders of the second largest city in the state of Alabama. And maybe that was one of those warnings that, hey, we need a little bit more out of you boosters if we're going to keep up with the Texas A&M. Like I said earlier, compared it to almost like one of those old telethons where PBS, they wouldn't directly say, like, we need your money. right? But without your support, there would be no PBS. Call now to donate. And you say, oh, shoot, I love this station. They're going to go under without some sort of donation. I got to give them money. Saban sitting up there saying, you know, without you boosters chipping in, look at what Texas is. They're buying all their players. We can't keep up with that. And I don't know if it was so much an attack on Jimbo as it was more of a message to his own fans, if you're Nick Saban. And Jimbo just happened to be a casualty of war there. He just happened to be an innocent bystander. Well, I guess not all that innocent in this case, but he was the bystander that took a stray. Saban just had to use him to get to a point for those in the room. Maybe he is really upset at what's going on at Texas A&M. Maybe he does feel threatened. But also, maybe he's kind of delivering some sort of warning to his own fans that, hey, look at what they're doing over there. That's what we need to be doing. And in order to do so, I need more out of you guys, you boosters. I need more money from you. Obviously, this story is just beginning. And boy, can I not wait. I am looking forward to that matchup in October. When we come back, we'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery. And we'll give away some tickets for their game this weekend as well. It's the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Passing by like Lady Godiva. I'm gonna go, go, go. There's no stopping me. I'm burning through the sky. Yeah. 200 degrees, that's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit. I'm traveling at the speed of
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Hey, the Charleston Battery are back home this weekend against Miami FC. We'll be giving away tickets in just a few minutes. Stay tuned for that. They play Saturday night, 7 o'clock at Patriots Point. Get your tickets online at charlestonbattery.com or stay tuned. You'll have a chance to win some tickets to that game coming up this Saturday against Miami FC. In the meantime, until we give away those tickets, let's catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery. Joining us now is one of the forwards on the team, Augie Williams. Augie, what's going on? How are you?
Hello, how are you doing? I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Appreciate the time. Appreciate you joining us. It's your first year with the Charleston Battery. Let's just begin with that. How has it been so far playing with the Battery this year?
It's been great. Obviously, adapting to a new environment, new team, new staff. There's so much positive to take from it. It's been a journey. So I'm just enjoying the process and learning every day. To become a better player, better teammates, and making sure I'm able to do my job the right way possibly.
Yeah. Now, you've played for the LA Galaxy. You were at San Diego Loyal SC, the Portland Timbers. So you've been out on the West Coast. I know you were living in California as well. What's it been like so far being here in South Carolina now and in the Eastern time zone as well? What's it been like playing here?
Right. Yeah, it's been great. It took me a while to adjust to the time difference. Because obviously the East is 3 hours ahead. But it's been great, different weather, trying to adjust to the heat, even though it's hot in California. But it's different heat as well here. My first time living in the East Coast, so I'm just open up to the process and trying to make sure that I enjoy the journey. I keep going, so that's pretty much so far.
Yeah, well, it seems like you've taken well to Charleston because you scored a goal on the opening night victory against Tulsa, your first game at the Battery, and then you scored again in the second home game. So it seems like you've had some success playing at Patriots Point. How have you liked playing at that facility in front of the home crowd with the Battery?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the fans are one of the reasons why. Obviously, that gave us that energy in the beginning of the season. So it was great. I was looking very much forward to it in the opening, and I was very excited to be able to contribute to our success on that particular day. I'm just happy. I'm always excited to come out and represent the club the best way I can. Obviously, make the fans happy as well. So I think I was much happy to be able to score that day, and obviously the most important thing was getting the 3 points.
Yeah, that's got to be a real thrill. You know, when you join a new team and you're just getting used to the surroundings and your teammates, to be able to score a goal in that first game, I'm sure, you know, maybe that takes a little bit of a load off of you or takes a little pressure off of you when you score that very first game with a new team.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. When you come into a new team, there's a lot of pressure. You wanting to prove yourself. You wanting to be able to establish, making sure your teammates understand you, you understanding your teammates. So I think me being able to score that goal on that particular day, I think it took a lot off my shoulder, and I think it was very an important step just leading on to the season, and I was happy about that.
I know the season hasn't gone maybe as planned so far from the, you know, the team perspective. How do you view things so far when it comes to the battery, how you guys have been playing? What do you think needs to change here moving forward so you guys can total up some more wins here the second half of the year?
I mean, I think the season has been the result. We've been playing, like, I think, in my opinion, we've been playing great. Unfortunately, things haven't went our way, and that sometimes is football. But I think the guys are looking to turn things around, and we've all been in a position where sometimes it gets frustrated because we know that the results, whether the last game or whatever it was, we wanted to win, but it didn't go that way, and we expected more from ourselves. So I think it's just going back to the pitch and making sure that we get things right and put in the work, put our heads down, work extremely hard, making sure that we can turn things around, and that's been the mentality from day one. And the belief that we have and the mindset that the guys have, I think it's incredible of just keep going and keep working hard, because sooner or later, we know that things are going to turn around, and we're hoping and we're making sure this week will be that week to turn things around.
Talking with Augie Williams with the Charleston Battery. Yeah, as you said, you know, it's frustrating, especially when you don't get some of the bounces, you don't get some of the breaks to go your way. So, but does that also help you kind of try to stay positive, knowing that, like, hey, eventually our luck's going to turn and we're going to start getting some of these breaks, and these close losses will turn into wins?
Right. I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just like life. Sometimes you go through the good moments and you go through the bad moments. And I think for us, I wouldn't really say bad moment, but it's just been that little downhill path that we've been on as of lately. And I think it hasn't been because of our style of play or the way we play. It's just been things hasn't went our way. It hasn't clicked the way we wanted it to. And I think the biggest part that we can take about all of this is the positivity that we have in the group and in the staff, not giving up on us, coming in and day out, making sure that we get better off the game pitch and making sure that we do what we need to do, whether it's a change of game plan or things like that, approaching every game differently and having that belief that sooner or later we'll turn this around. I think that's the great mindset and everyone has, and that's what we're approaching this week coming against Miami.
Let me ask you about you yourself. You were born in Sierra Leone, but I know you were raised in California. At what age did you move to California?
I left Sierra Leone when I was six. I lived in Senegal for 2 years, and I moved to California. I mean, that's where I grew up most of my life. At the age of 16, moved to Portland, where my professional career started, and I've just been obviously been able to move to as well L.A. And then I was San Diego on loan when I was there, and now I'm here in Charleston. So I think it's just the transition, open up to the journey and learning every day. This is the lifestyle of a footballer. You never know where you can be one moment at a time. I never expected to be in Charleston, but that's the life of a footballer. You go different places, you learn, and you adapt. And I think it's been a great journey so far, just moving from Sierra Leone to the state, and my transition has been great.
Did you have a lot of family with you that made that move to California with you?
Well, my family, it was my dad, my brother, and my sister. So it wasn't as huge. My mom was already here prior to us moving here. So we were just happy to come back and just reconnect the entire family and living as one. But most of my uncles, my other siblings as well, then in Sierra Leone. So I go often. I was there last year visiting them, and I'm always excited to see them, even though I don't get the luxury to see them when I want. But I'm always happy when I get that time to see them, even if it's for a little bit.
Yeah, no, I certainly can imagine so. Talking with Augie Williams, you know, along those lines, you played on you represented the national team and played for the squad that secured qualification for the Africa Cup of Nations. What did that mean for you to be able to play for the national team?
Yeah, definitely. For 26 years, the country had never maybe prior to that to the African Cup of Nations. And a kid like myself being able to participate and contribute in the success of us making it to the African Cup of Nations after 26 years, I think it was something that was I was very thankful for. It's one, and I think it helped me with my growth. We were happy as a nation. We were happy as a player. So just to be part of that and contribute towards that history, I think it's something that I would forever cherish as part of my journey. And I was very appreciative that we made it to the African Cup of Nations and represent ourselves really well.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you know, we talked earlier that you've spent your career on the West Coast before coming here. You know, you moved to California when you were 8. So, you know, was it daunting? Was it a little intimidating to make the move all the way here to South Carolina to come play with the Battery? Was it something that, I don't know if you had doubts about, was it a little bit of a concern to come all this way to come play here in South Carolina?
No, I mean, not really. I've never been to, prior to me coming last year, I think when I was with LA, I came down with the reserve team, but there was, I think, a lightning or storm, so we couldn't play that that day. So, obviously, when I spoke to Connor, and then obviously he told me what his ideas are about for the teams and making sure that he wants to bring this team to a different level than it was. So I think just me being able to understand that he also was a striker, I think for me I was very open to that because I know for a fact there's so much I can learn from a guy who has played also for the U.S. national team and also has had a great career. So just me having an understanding, I was more excited to come here and I was open to the idea of learning new ideas, making sure of obviously me being at the right place and understanding I was at the right environment. I was just excited. I was excited to be here, and obviously when I heard the plan, I was like, yes, I want to be part of this. I want to be here. I didn't understand what it was coming to the East Coast at first, but I was definitely open up to the idea. Me wanted to come here and see what it was like. And there's nothing but positive things to say. Just my time being here so far.
And do you like the away from soccer? You like the area as well? You like Charleston and what you've seen of the area?
Yeah, obviously explored a little bit. I'm more of a, not really an introvert, but I like being more indoors sometimes. But obviously I've went to a few places I've liked, some few restaurants. So, looking to explore more and know the city more because I can't really go anywhere without GPS so far, except for the training facility game day. So I think there's so much more to explore and learn about Charleston, and I'm very open to doing that.
Yeah, hey, absolutely. I'm an avid indoorsman, and I've been here 4 years, and I still need the GPS to get everywhere because I have a terrible sense of direction. So don't feel bad about that. Before we let you go, talk with Augie Williams from the Charleston Battery. You've scored a couple goals this year. Do you have a certain goal celebration after you score or just whatever you're feeling in the moment?
I do. It's the little fist bump in the air, but I think my first goal it was EJ Emmanuel Johnson who told me to do the dance called the Gritty, and I think it was one of those when I did it for him. So I think sometimes you meet the kids that you walk out with. They tell you like, oh, if you score, do this type of celebration, and I feel like those are things I also want to be able to do so that way I can make someone else happy. But I think my celebration is not something too, it's just a normal striker celebration, jump in the air with a fist bump and it's a regular one, it's just a common one. That's I think that's mine.
Well, since you mentioned it, did you have to practice the Gritty or did you just, were you a natural? Could you nail it right away?
No. I think when me and EJ talked about it, I went on YouTube because I didn't know how to do it at first. And then I watched couple of videos and obviously watch some tutorial of guys teaching people how to do it, and obviously I started practicing it, and I think the right moment I was lucky enough to get it right, so I think that's what I would say was, but I definitely have to practice before doing it because I didn't want to do it on the pitch and then people would be surprised of what is he doing.
That's right. You can't embarrass yourself out there, especially after scoring a goal.
Right.
You got to look like you know what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, hey, Augie, appreciate the time. We're waiting for that next goal and looking forward to seeing you guys get back out there on Saturday and wish you the best of luck the rest of the season. Appreciate you joining us.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Best of luck the rest of the way. Augie Williams, one of the forwards on the Battery. He goes by Augie because people have a hard time with his name. So when I grew up, it was St. Augustine. It was Augustine is what it was said where I grew up. But then down in Florida, it's St. Augustine.
Augustine.
Right? That's how they pronounce it. And I lived in Florida, and I've been to St. Augustine. I believe Augie goes by Augustine as well. But growing up in the Northeast, that was pronounced Augustine. I'm sure it's dependent on the person or the town or whatever it may be. Everyone pronounces it different. But he goes by Augie Williams. I like that name. Appreciate him joining us. Scored goals in the first two home games this year, so he acclimated himself to the new team and the new area nicely. We'll give away tickets in just a moment. Trent, do you have a preferred time zone? This is the first time he's ever been on the East Coast. He's got to get used to everything being 3 hours ahead.
Sure.
What's the best time zone to live in?
Well, Luke, you know, I went on this long road trip, a three-week road trip across the country, and saw all the different time zones. And I will say that was right during the NBA playoffs. It was a little difficult for games starting at, 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock, because you're still out doing things. So, yeah, I might be biased here, but I do like the East Coast, the Eastern time zone. I think it's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Just get rid of daylight savings time and I'll be all good. Because there's, places in Arizona and a couple other places that don't do daylight savings time. But besides that, East Coast time is the best.
Yeah, you say that until you fall asleep on the couch because the Warriors game is going until midnight. They got to tip that thing off at 9:15 East Coast time. Goodness. Speaking of daylight, I love when if you ever go to these areas that are right on the border, so they're still they're right up against the time zone, and so you get the extra daylight. Like if you ever go to Ohio, it's still Eastern time zone, but it's right there on the edge, Ohio into Michigan, and so you get it's lighter, longer out. Texas is similar. Now Texas is Central time zone, but it's far enough over in whichever direction. That same idea, like it's sunnier out longer. While not losing the time, if you get what I'm trying to say. That's always a nice feature.
Central time zone, and I spent some time in Mississippi, and they do central time. That's the worst.
Really?
Yes, it is. For college football, I will say this. For tailgating in college football, the amount – because Ole Miss wasn't good when I was there. So we had a lot of noon kickoffs. But in central time, that's 11 a.m., Luke. So we were getting up.
That's true.
We were getting up at, 7 o'clock, getting dressed, ready to go. We're down at the Grove by 7:30 having a mimosa. You know what I'm saying? That's fine. But to do that five times during the football season, that's difficult. It's difficult to do.
That's fair. 11 a.m. is tough. I like it for the other things, though. Like Monday Night Football at 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's nice. Even baseball, every night the Braves usually play at 7. I like 6 o'clock. You sit down, you have your dinner, game's on, and it's over at like 9, 9:30. It's just still early enough, instead of sometimes it may go closer to like 11. I personally think the Central time zone's the best. But
wow.
When it comes to college football, that is a fair complaint. Absolutely. 11 a.m. is a little bit early to be kicking it off out there.
Yes, you're right. Like, we did watch Monday Night Football, like, 7 o'clock, whatever. I had a class on Mondays that lasted till I think, like, 7 right then. So as soon as I got back, boom, football was on. So I guess you're right. There are sides to everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, last night, I didn't want to go to bed, at 11:30 or whatever, but I fell asleep because we were the third quarter of the Warriors game.
This is why I have to be a night person, so I could stay up for the games.
I try, Luke.
I don't
want
to be one of those people falling asleep, although I still fall asleep on the couch. Hey, appreciate the time from Augie. Let's give away a couple of these tickets. They're the virtual tickets. We'll send them right to you. You go to the game Saturday. We'll get your information. We'll get your email, whatever. We'll send them to you. Two tickets. Saturday night, Charleston Battery hosts the Miami FC. Saturday night, this Saturday, 7 p.m. at Patriots Point. Should be a lovely evening. It's always a great time over there. Be the third caller. We'll give you two tickets to the game this Saturday. 843-721-9500. 843-721-9500. Third caller, we'll give you two tickets to the Charleston Battery game Saturday night. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show at Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Augie Williams of the Charleston Battery. And congrats to our winner getting a pair of tickets to the game Saturday night. If you weren't our lucky winner, you could still go get your tickets online at charlestonbattery.com starting as low as $12. And go out and see them Saturday night, 7 o'clock at Patriots Point against Miami FC. Get your tickets online now at charlestonbattery.com. Appreciate the time from Augie. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Let me spend just a moment on the soccer story with the men and the women's national teams. Yeah, they ratified new CBAs this week that include an equal split of World Cup bonuses. And this is something that the women's side has been pushing for a while. Now, I get pushback on this whenever we talk about this subject, but we keep it real around here because I've seen a lot of sugarcoating over the last 24 hours. And the quote from the U.S. soccer president in regards to this that came out was, quote, "This is much deserved, and it's the right thing to do." I don't know. I know a lot of people are clamoring for something like this for the last couple of years. I would be curious if those same people would be as big of a fan of the idea if it came to their jobs as well. Because there is nothing sexist about this story, and it's not about equal pay. It's really more about capitalism, if anything, right? It's business. And I'd be saying the same thing if the roles were reversed. I'd be saying the same thing if we were talking about two male teams or two female teams. Because the bonuses that they're going to pool together, well, for the men, it's $400 million. For the women, it's $60 million. And those are determined by revenue generated. So the men's national soccer team, while not as good or successful at least, they generate $400 million. The women, $60 million. So the men agreed to give the women's team a large portion of their paycheck, which is very nice of them. But that's essentially what happened. Now, we know this isn't how it usually works. Like, for example, LeBron James did not make the playoffs this year with the Lakers. Should we therefore ask him to split his salary with whoever wins the WNBA championship because they're more successful? Right, we know that unfortunately, a lot of times that pay isn't based off of talent or even success at times. It's really just based off of how much money do you bring in to your industry, your company, your business? How much are you worth? What's your value? And again, if this was a role reversal and the women generated $400 million and the men 60, I'd be saying the same thing. And so imagine, right, those who I know, this has been a hot topic for years, and people are saying, right, the women should get paid more. They should get paid more than the men. They're a better team. Well, what if they came to your place of business and said the same thing and sat down in your office and said, hey, we know you bring in more money for this company than anybody else here, but we think your coworker is actually better at what they do, and they deserve more money. So we're going to pool your two salaries or your commissions, and you're going to split it, and you're going to give some of, you know, you're going to give some of your money to them over there because we think they're actually more talented. I know they're not making us as much money, but we think they're more talented, so you're going to have to pay the price. Would you be signing up for that as much as maybe you have been in support of this idea when it comes to the national soccer teams? Because I know a lot of people have been yelling for that women's national team to make as much or more than the men, but I think you have to be careful what you wish for because it's a slippery slope. If you bring in the most money in your company, in your sales, but a coworker made more sales, right? So let's say Trent and myself are both salesmen. I bring in more revenue on fewer sales. Trent makes more sales but brings in less money for the company. If you were in my position, would you be cool with the boss coming to you and saying, I know you made more money for this company than Trent, but he actually made more sales, so we're going to take that commission that you made and we're going to give it to him because he made more sales. Even though you brought in more money, and that's what keeps the lights on around here, but he made more sales, so we're going to have to pool the salaries. I don't think the salesman in my position would really like that idea. I don't think they would be clamoring for that idea so much. And again, you may say the women are more successful. Yes, in a perfect world, those more successful in any walk of life should be the highest paid as well. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way. The women should be most successful because women athletes did get a head start in this country compared to other countries. But more than that, I can tell you this. Radio is about two things, right? Let's take it to my world. Radio is about two things, ratings and revenue. That's all that matters. So let's say, and this is all hypothetical, but let's say my show is more listened to. The Morrow Midday Show has a higher listenership in this hypothetical world. But Fan Talk, Bobby's show, brings in more money. Who do you think is going to get paid more? The show that has more listeners or the show that makes more money? And should I then demand a portion of the Fan Talk revenue? Because, well, my show's more listened to. I know I don't make you as much money, but I should get paid more because more people are listening. And we know that's not how it works, not in business. This is all very simple. I've been told before by many people, and I always appreciate the kind words, I've been told that people come up to me or they send messages to the show. They say, you know, you do a great show. You're better than so-and-so. You're the best show on the stage. You're better than the network, yada, yada, yada. And I appreciate that. It's very kind. But I can tell you who makes more money. I appreciate the kind words telling me that the Morrow Midday Show is better than Greeny, but I can tell you who's making more money, both for their company and also in terms of their salary, because it's not always about skill or ability or talent. It's about making money. That's what business is. And sports are still just businesses. I can also tell you, I'll take you behind the velvet rope, the Morrow Midday Show trounces the Jim Rome Show around here. We have double the ratings of the Jim Rome Show on our sister station. Now, that's just for this market. Jim Rome is national, and he's also, I think he's got a simulcast on TV. He's a big star, of course, rightfully so. This is not to put down Jim Rome, but he's also one of the highest paid media members in the country. Now, could I go to my boss? Maybe this is apples and oranges, but could I go to my boss and say, like, hey, my show, we have more listeners than Jim Rome. I should get paid the millions of dollars Jim Rome is. Well, the difference is he's a national show, so he's bringing in millions of dollars. We don't have that luxury as a non-national show here at the Morrow Midday Show. So even though more people may be listening, therefore, theoretically, in this area, maybe this is the more successful show, I'm still not going to get more money than Jim Rome because that show brings in more money, just in general. Again, maybe not the perfect example. It's apples and oranges. It's a national show versus a local show, but you get the idea. I think I've provided enough examples in all this. And the fact of the matter is, regardless of who's more successful, the women are certainly, they have been more successful. And again, I wish it was as simple as that, that the most successful people made the most money. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way because, as we have seen, and the numbers back up, more people would rather watch the men's team disappoint you year after year after year than the women's team actually go win. And that's the bigger issue. That's what you need to fix. Fighting for more money is like trying to plug a hole. It's maybe a temporary fix, or just, you know, helps you feel better in the meantime. But more sustainable, what you really should do is get to the root of the issue. And that issue is, why is the less successful team more popular? And if I was in these rooms or if I was part of this, I would say instead of fighting for, you know, a portion of the money that the men make, to, I don't know, make things seem equal and make people feel better, I would say, how can we grow our sport? That's more sustainable. It's almost like the old idea of you fish for a man, you feed him for a day, you teach him how to fish, you feed him for life, something along those lines. Like, it's more sustainable. Let's try to grow our sport and get on the same level of popularity as the men, so then we're bringing in as much money and we never have to worry about this. But I've heard a lot of phony takes on this in sports media because everyone wants to tread lightly and not upset anybody and go with the flow. And here on the Morrow Midday Show, I always like to tell you how it is. I always say if you have a microphone, your one responsibility is to tell the truth. And I think that if this was reversed and the women brought in $400 million and the men brought in only $60 million, would we be having the same conversation? Would we be saying, wait a minute, the men need to get a portion of the money made by the women because they're making far less? We know that we wouldn't. Right? Would people be suggesting that the men get their cut? We already know that answer. This is an issue that's been cloaked with sexism and, you know, in misogyny, but that has nothing to do with it. It's not about that. It's about business. It's about revenue. It's about money-making. It's about capitalism. And while this is a controversial topic, I think it's controversial for the reasons that aren't actually being discussed. Because imagine if your boss pulled a similar stunt, I don't think you would be too pleased. We got it backwards in how we're starting to divvy up the revenue, regardless of gender. Gender is irrelevant to this conversation. It's more about operating a business. Because you usually get what you earn. If I cut 100 lawns to Trent, his 10 lawns. Trent cuts 10 lawns. I cut 100. His 10 lawns turn out better than my 100. Should I share the profits with him? I made more money, but he seemed to do a better job. Not exactly. That's not really how it works. We know that. Because even though my quality may not have been as good, I did more work to earn that money. Now, credit to the women for going out and getting their money. It's not like they stole it. The men agreed to split it. But let's see it for, you know, what it really is. This was not some sort of sexist issue or anything, and the real issue is kind of just in terms of just operating in a sense of a business. The men bring in 10 times the amount of revenue. No wonder they make more money. It's that simple. You bring in more money, you make more money. It's how most companies work. We'll wrap up your Thursday when we come back. More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up your Thursday on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston. However you listen to your podcast. Has Tiger finished up?
Yes, he has. He has. Yeah, finished 4 over for the day. Not great. Not great.
That is not great. Rory's in the lead, 5 under. So right now, 9 strokes off the leader. We'll see how Tiger does in day 2 tomorrow. We'll be here to keep you posted throughout the afternoon tomorrow. Hey, in the meantime, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. Whatever happens tonight throughout the sports world, maybe Deion responds to Saban. Maybe Saban responds to Jimbo. We're here for it. And we'll be here for it tomorrow to break it all down starting at noon. If you miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.